As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way, your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you follow along the program when the choir or when is singing the gradual. That's like the responsorial psalm, but it's done in the old style, just the gradual there. And it's being sung in Latin, but the translation's right there. The idea is that as you hear it being sung so beautifully, is that you meditate and contemplate on the words that are there. Translation's there, it's in English. And you'll have time as the chant goes on to read through it more than once and maybe look at a couple of words and contemplate and rest on those and allow those to speak to your heart. That's the point of having this, so you know what the words are. In this particular, I was doing that this time. I got caught doing it, right? And it really jumped out at me. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but the second half of it is to gaze. The one thing I've asked the Lord, this I seek, dwell in the house of the Lord. And this is the line here, to gaze and delight on the Lord's beauty. This is Old Testament. It's from probably, I think this is a Psalm of David, but just this desire to gaze on the Lord's beauty. To see in this feast for the soul, feast for the eyes, feast for the heart, just to be resting and gazing upon, contemplating it. And you can just imagine it'd be just like almost like nothing else matters when you're gazing on in the presence, gazing on the beauty of the Lord. We get little moments of that sometimes throughout our life, where it's like, I am before something here that is just magnificent. It's the power that beauty has. And here, not just beauty as in like aesthetic beauty. Aesthetic beauty points us towards greater, even greater beauty still. There's goodness that really corresponds to our heart. By the way, I'm giving a recap of the RCIA lesson from last week, but there's goodness that speaks to our heart, truth speaks to our mind, but there's an interplay of those two things when there's this proportion and this balance and there's this, but and also this relationship that comes across as something that's existentially beautiful. And that's what David had experienced, and that's what he, in moments, he didn't always hang on to it, didn't always live it, but it drew him more to want to spend more time with the Lord, and so he'd spend time there before the ark. And that's why he brought it up from the out from where it was into Jerusalem, and that spend that time with the Lord. Now, that play, the reason why that struck me so much is because what does it mean to gaze on the Lord? Well, Bartimaeus, the blind man, couldn't do that. He was constitutionally or physically incapable of doing that. And in a certain metaphorical way, he was also spiritually incapable of doing that. Now, whenever Jericho shows up in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, Jericho, as maybe you know, it's the lowest inhabited city on earth. It's like 1,200 feet below sea level. It's down close to the Dead Sea. And it's a really cool place to go. They have the best ribs there. It's amazing. It's really great food. But it's not just physically the lowest place. It's also in Scripture intended to be this morally the worst place. If you're up on high, the mountaintop in Jerusalem, and you're going down to Jericho, you are not on the right path. Things are going from bad to worse. And that's why the man who went on this journey from Jerusalem, the whole Good Samaritan parable, he's on his way down to Jerusalem. He's going to a bad place and he gets waylaid. It's the Samaritans coming through that to help him. But that's so here's Bartimaeus down there, the worst place. And he's not just there as a successful businessman. He's a beggar and he's blind. He's not even right in the town. He's like outside the town. It's meant also, not just in a metaphorical way, but also in a metaphorical way. And he has nothing to commend himself. He's got no connections, no strings he can pull. He's just there outside where he's been. We don't know if this is a lifetime or of blindness or if it was something that happened later on, but he can't see. And he hears a crowd. Now, he would have heard stories of passerbys, or maybe someone else came up to him who had been up in Galilee and came down and saw him. Hey, Bartimaeus, you know, I was up in Galilee and I saw there's this guy up there and he was healing people of their blindness. Can you believe that? Wouldn't you like that? Yes. But how do I get there? Okay. Well, yeah, that's too bad. Well, we'll see you later, Bartimaeus. And he's just left with this existential angst of there's a possibility that maybe I could see one day, yet I can't. Because I have no way to get there. How would I know him when I find him? There's just so many, and all he can do is just sit there and continue begging. But Jesus goes down to the lowest place. That's where he met Zacchaeus, by the way, too. And he goes down through, and he's on his way up. He's going to be going to Jerusalem. But he's just finished up. As Jesus was leaving Jericho, he just finished up. And there's a whole crowd that's with him. And Bartimaeus hears this commotion. How's he supposed to know? He's got to ask, or maybe somebody tells him, or say, hey, what's going on? What's over? And then someone said, I think it's this prophet. And so he starts putting two and two together and realizes that, you know, that's the one. That's the one that can. And he starts to shout out, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. He's got no other thing to do but shout out. He can't make a beeline. Obviously, he doesn't have someone like so many other people were brought to Jesus. He doesn't have anyone that's doing that for him. And they tell him, hey, shut up. Jesus is trying to preach. So stop yelling. He said, Jesus, son of it. No, just be quiet. Come on. I'm trying to listen. Why don't you try to listen for once? I've been listening my whole life. I would love to see. Jesus at some point hears, off in the distance, behind the crowd, Jesus, Son of David, have pity. And he tells the crowd, okay, think about someone else besides yourself just right now. Bring him here. And we can see ourselves in the shoes of these people, who the crowd there that was trying to shush Bartimaeus. Because he was becoming an obstacle for them, what they wanted. I want to hear, I want to speak, and it's distracting, and Jesus is trying to preach, but now Jesus is distracted too because he hears something. No, Jesus, keep saying, wait, I want to finish that sentence. It was so good. Please, and I want it. And they're really thinking about themselves. And the one that's getting in their way is the one they don't want Jesus thinking about. They don't want to think of it. They just want him to get him out. I mean, it's wretched. It's kind of horrible. Yet what our Lord tells them is a message for us, that those who are in our way, from being the good Catholic, the good Christian we're called to be, that's who we should be reaching out to. That's the one we should be bringing also to the Lord and show up together. So they go, some of them go to Bartimaeus and they say, hey, I don't know, but today's your day, because take courage, he's calling you. And probably at this moment there's some joy that begins to dawn on the hearts of those that are following Jesus in the crowd who went to go get Bartimaeus, because they think, I know what's going to happen. And Bartimaeus is before the Lord here, and it's like you can't make this up. It's like if it was anybody, if any of us had healing superpowers and could just like go along down the street just healing blind people, healing crippled people, it would turn into this like, ladies and gentlemen, and now I perform another miracle, and we'd just be doing it all over the place, and it'd really be all about us. And I think that's why most of us can't heal anything, because God knows better than to give us that grace, because it would ruin us. But he has this respect and delicacy, this dignity with which he treats Bartimaeus that no one else has had. Because it doesn't say, okay, yeah, okay, got it, okay, you're here, come, you, oh, you're blind? Okay, there you go, okay, next. He engages with him. And he asks him what is an obvious question, and it's easy to kind of read it in, I don't know, ironic or sarcastic language, like, what do you want me to do for you? Like, no, it's not, that's not who Jesus is. He's just inviting Bartimaeus, what would you like me to do? It's obvious, but it's not like Jesus doesn't want to force his grace, his blessing, and his healing on anybody. And Bartimaeus also does not respond with I think if Bartimaeus was grew up in Little Italy or something like that in New Jersey, his response would be like, what do you mean, what do you want me to do for you? Isn't it obvious? Can't you see? I can't see. I mean, it would be something along those lines, but that's not, Bartimaeus is not from New Jersey. Sorry, any local New Jersey, or fill in the blank of any other. He says, Master, I want to see. And in this moment, Jesus gives him that miracle. Can you imagine not being able to see for years? Maybe a lifetime. And the very first thing that you get to see when you open your eyes is the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. One who already he knows respects him and has elevated his dignity of not being some beggar that needs a handout, but someone who is worthy of sight and grace and healing. Jesus is looking on Bartimaeus as a brother. Go your way, your faith has saved you. Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. Now, we know that Bartimaeus continued to be a follower. At least here's one theory. It's that if his name makes it into Scripture, and also his dad's name, Bartimaeus, the blind man, son of Timaeus, it's because the community that produced for us and Mark, they knew, this is the story of Bartimaeus. And he was a blind man, and it got, or maybe Bartimaeus himself is telling Mark. And that's how it got into the story. So this is someone who is following Jesus from some time and would have been telling everybody about that time when he was in Jericho and Jesus is about to leave, and the very last miracle that Jesus performed before leaving the town, never to return again, because he's on his way up to, at the end, into to be crucified in Jerusalem, that I received that gift, and it could have been any other way. It's just so many, it could have just had he gone out the other gate, or had I not arrived at the time, and there just, you go through all the possibilities and just realize, no, God's fingerprints were just all over it. Jesus knew he was going to be there. And Jesus knew the timing and knew the gift. And afterwards, as Bartimaeus spends his days and years with the early Christian community, you know that he's just going to be sharing this with everybody that he had, that would hear, that would listen. Now, just the takeaway I'd like for us to consider from this is that we often, we can find ourselves in Bartimaeus' shoes through any number of ways. Maybe it's not physical, but maybe there's a spiritual blindness or some kind of sin that we're just not, we're in the down out, down the bottom of Jericho, and we're looking for a way out and don't know how to get out, and we're looking for that kind of, that's a definite application, and maybe that's spoken already to your heart. And if so, well then don't stop crying out to the Lord Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. Don't do it out loud right now, but like, you know, in your heart. But if being in the shoes of the crowd is something you could kind of identify with, like, I know there's a lot out there, a lot of people out there, and maybe some of them, I really do not look on them with the same kind of dignity that Jesus looked on Bartimaeus. Their problems, they need solutions that I can't give. They're, or maybe not just like castaway kind of material, but how about enemies or people that just get in the way, or they're voting the opposite way that I'm going to vote, and we have all this class of people that we just kind of have out there. Remember how the Lord Jesus looks on Bartimaeus. The good news is it's not unique just to Bartimaeus. It's not unique just to you. Actually, every time it's unique in particular in the most incredible way, but that's the way he sees every single soul that he's ever created. With this intense love and this intense respect. And this is the kind of, what he does here with Bartimaeus is the same kind of thing he does with us, sometimes maybe not so dramatically, because that's not where we are in our life. But he looks at us with that same dignity, that same love, that same care, that same kind of attention. What would you like me to do for you? And it gives joy to the Lord to be able to do this. Just being there for the crowd to be there and get to watch the happiest day in this man's life, the best day in his life ever. You're going to remember that. What's that like for Jesus to be able to do that? It gives him joy because I got to give the thing that he most needed and was just overwhelmed by gratitude, and I was a part of that. And so it's like Jesus is giving his heart away. You can just imagine what this is, the part of the energy, the motor behind how he could go for hours and hours and hours and days with barely with any rest or food, because he's just doing these things and he's transforming people's lives over and over and over again. And yes, he wants to do it for you too. And continue to do it today, tomorrow, the next day. Sometimes we get tired of asking. But he still wants to give it to you. The same kind of grace, the same kind of gift. So ask our Lord, maybe this is something to ask him for. Lord, help me to see other souls the way you see them. Help me to respect my neighbor the way you respect them. Help me to treat them with dignity the way you treat them with dignity. And yes, with the castaway people that are beneath me, so to speak, and also with those who are at my side, and also those that with whom I feel completely in conflict with at every level. Our Lord looks on them too with love and dignity and a desire to bring them to heaven. So there's a lot to think about there, but Bartimaeus now is gazing with delight on the Lord's beauty, and he will never for all eternity forget that grace he received from the Lord.